Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Stop the Bleeding Tuesday in New York baseball. The Mets trying to snap a 3-game losing streak and beat the Braves tonight. The Yankees trying to snap a 4-game losing streak and score some freaking runs and beat the Angels. More on that coming up, but it is Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. I've had a lot of nostalgia on my mind recently. You might recall last week's Cinco de Fivo, the five places we wish we could still go, and that sparked discussion. Last night, I got tickled with a lot of sports nostalgia for two reasons. Number one, the NBA Finals brought starting intros back to the TV. Now I know what the Thunder PA announcer looks like and what that sounds like.
How great was that?
It was awesome. It pumped me
up. Tremendous,
yeah. And then there was a comment that I don't have pulled, but Michael Kay and Todd Frazier were talking about during the Yankee broadcast, the idea of voting for All-Star games, and Todd Frazier didn't remember doing the old paper ballot.
Oh, I missed that too.
Okay.
That's a good call. I do miss that. They used to hand the ballots out when you went to the ballpark. You'd punch the hole in.
Right, but how many of them actually just got thrown in the trash?
Most of them.
Right. Okay. Well, it got me now really thinking. I'm like, this is so simple. These two things are so simple. So, what are the five? What did I write about this?
I'm trying to find the title.
The five nostalgia things we should bring back about sports.
He's looking to the SNY screen as if they're going to save him by having a graphic up there describing the name of his Cinco.
It's the five nostalgia sports things that we should be bringing back. Okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
That I wish would come back. Okay.
SNY has labeled the top five sports things I wish would come back.
Here we go. Number five is those paper all-star ballots. Now, I don't know about you gentlemen. I understand saving trees and everything, and I understand everybody votes online. I basically have not voted for an all-star game in a decade because I'm not fumbling around on my phone. When I go to a baseball game, that was the best. Punch out the little holes, bring it back.
Here's what changed, Tiki, and I think you'll appreciate this. As someone who went to all-star games as a pro bowler, when they would hand you the ballot, it would just be the name. There were no stats there. So other than your own baseball knowledge, you didn't know what kind of seasons guys were having.
That's true. So it was really just for the really in-depth baseball fan
to know, or
just be a homer.
Or just be a homer or name value. Ken Griffey Jr., I'm voting for him. Barry Bonds, I'm voting for him. Nowadays, when you go on the app or you go on the website, the numbers are right there.
Yeah.
And so the results of these elections are better today because it's actually based on numbers.
More deserving.
Put a pin in that because I disagree because there's more reasoning and more to come with that. Here we go.
Okay.
Number four.
Bring back This Week in Baseball every Saturday morning for a half an hour for every young person to enjoy. There was nothing better on TV. And you know what else you learned in that half an hour, Evan? Who was having the great weeks? Who was having the bad weeks? And then when you went to vote on an All-Star game, you're pretty educated after a half an hour TWIB show on a Saturday morning.
Good point. TWIBs wouldn't be the same without the same legendary voice. And if Mel Allen isn't there, then what are we doing?
Well, after Mel Allen.
AI Mel Allen?
I was going to say, very easy ways to make that happen.
You could do that. But then there was a younger version before it finally went away. And I'm forgetting the guy's name. He works on Sirius. He's a country music guy now. And I forgot his name. Damn it.
Holden Kushner.
No, I'll get it. Somebody will get it. But anyway, yeah, I used to love that. And you used to start your Fox Saturday baseball programming, all that. It was the best. Here we go.
Number three.
Bring back NFL primetime in its real version. Not a streaming only after Sunday Night Football. You have 2 days to download on ESPN Plus. I understand that you're not getting the same old Chris Berman, Tom Jack. Like, that's not going to happen anymore. But the NBC pregame show for Sunday Night Football should be less a pregame show and go back to the way highlights were done on ESPN for NFL primetime.
Isn't that what NBC originally was doing?
They were trying, but then they involve a lot of pregame antics, and they're just kind of talking over the highlights as they go. I'm talking about the shtick,
right,
the everything. It was the best. That was the best way to end a Sunday.
Yeah, because when it first started, it was Keith Olbermann and who else was in that booth? The NBC studio. I should know because I was on the show, and I don't remember now.
But they tried it, but it didn't.
Right.
They need to retry.
Costas. It was Costas and Olbermann.
Yeah. Now there's a million people talking over it. I don't need it. All right, here we go.
Number two.
It went.
I'm not recognizing this.
You would not, Tiki. You would not. I don't blame you.
All right.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it was like MSG or Sports Channel, one of them.
That was the
Rangers
intro on MSG throughout the 90s. It's so simple. Yeah. They show a skate sharpening. It was so old school. It's so much better than the crap music we get from our local networks now.
It's not really true. What's true is we all love the sounds of us growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So the sounds of yesteryear, like whenever I watch an old game, an old Yankee game, old Met game, old Knicks game, like hearing the old music. It's not that the music is good. It's that, I think of my childhood.
It's like the old jingles we were talking about.
Yeah, that's true. But that is good music. And the imagery is an elbow pad being pumped up for a hockey game. Now what do we get? Sterile. All right, here we go.
Number one.
And undoubtedly, the last thing that needs to come back in sports, paper tickets. I am had it up to here with the transferring and this and that and the digital and everything's got to be on the phone, but the phone batteries sometimes die. Then it's a pain in the neck. Then if you forget your password, this, that, and the other thing. There was nothing better than a sleeve of tickets that you would rip apart on the peripheral lines, bring them back.
So you're right and you're wrong all at the same time. I miss the paper ticket, especially for a big event.
Well, like, you can save it and get it signed if you happen to fall and meet one of your stars. Whatever,
absolutely.
Maybe.
That part is cool.
Right.
But as a season ticket holder, I love the idea that it's on my phone. I don't have to remember to bring my tickets.
But
I don't have to
remember.
I think what they should do, and I'm sure some teams already do this, is give you an option as a season ticket holder or as a customer to pay an extra 50 cents, so something marginal, and yes, you can get a printed ticket.
Per ticket. 50 cents per ticket.
Yeah, 50 cents per ticket. Like, nothing crazy, because what are we talking about?
Even on the secondary market, if I'm not buying, like, day of or have me... There used to be... I remember when I used to buy in, like, StubHub, you used to be able to go to a place. Tiki, that game you had versus the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. I bought a single ticket in the 100 level. You know what I had to do to get that ticket?
What?
I got dropped off in the parking lot. My buddies were doing a tailgate. They were sitting separate. I had to cross three lanes of highway to go to the hotel.
Why is that a good thing? You're describing it as such a good thing.
I had to earn my ticket playing Frogger back, and it was a thrill of that just to get your hands on it.
Sean, life's more convenient now.
Life sucks now.
Not really.
Like, how much easier it would have been if you could just hung out with your buddies drinking beers and being like, I got it on my phone.
No.
Oh, good.
My heart beating out of my chest. Am I going to make it in time? It was the best.
No, you're wrong about it. Like, even as you explain it, you realize, like, life's easier now. Like, it's just easier to know, it's automatically on my phone. Let me go in. The only time it sucks is if it's a big game. And I got to hand it to one certain franchise, one certain team in this town. It's so weird I have to compliment them all the time.
The Jets.
The New York Knicks.
Oh, the Knicks.
The Jets. What the hell did the Jets do?
Didn't they print your season ticket?
They did. That was a nice gesture for me. But I'm talking about everyone listening.
Because
that was a nice gesture for me. They printed out the tickets. Very basic. Very cool, but like just a basic ticket.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I went to Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers, I went in with my phone. Very easy. No security line. Boom. As I got in, a person says, "Would you like a ticket?" And I said, "Of course." And they handed me this beautiful New York Knicks playoff ticket. Now, the negative is it didn't say my section.
Right.
Didn't say my seat. It wasn't specific to me.
It was just a random ticket.
But they gave away a really cool ticket.
Great.
That's what they should do.
Mm-hmm. So your big giveaway gift when you get in is something you got for 100 years for nothing.
Yeah, but you don't need it anymore.
Yes, you do.
And nor did you pay for it.
I didn't pay for it. No,
they gave it to you.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
Ah, just bring them back.
If you want it, you want it. If you don't, you don't.
And trust me, a lot of people didn't take it.
Right.
I wanted to take two. I was like, let me give one to Tommy as well. He didn't go to the game, and then I would have signed it to him. Like, sorry I didn't take you, Tommy. Your season was a failure. Evan Roberts. And then give it to him.
And can I add one more non-sports one to this discussion? Do away with GPSs on phones. Either you print out the directions on MapQuest or you're screwed.
Get the hell out of here.
What are you talking about?
Get the hell out of here. Old school. What are you talking about?
So we have a little Met news here. We talked about Brett Beatty before, the injury thing. This is from Anthony DeComo. Brett Beatty isn't sure yet if he'll be available tonight. He's out of the starting lineup. He's testing his groin with as much baseball activity as it can handle. Beatty, however, quote, can say with certainty that it's feeling better than it did 2 days ago.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's a good sign. He sounds like he's not going on the IL. He'll be available at some point, but not today. Jared Young is getting the start at DH for the Mets, and Ronnie Mauricio is playing third base. I am very excited for tonight, but I'm also very nervous. And I want to be fair about this. Baseball's a long-ass season, mm-hmm. and you're going to go through funks. It reeks like the Mets are about to continue this funk.
Because of the injury issues?
It's a combination of a few things. Yes, the injuries. Yes, they are banged up a little bit in the rotation, where someone is going to have to make a start later this week who's currently not on the roster, whether it's a prospect or it's an opener situation. The pitching is also regressing. We have seen that, specifically from a guy like Griffin Canning.
Right.
And before that, Tyler McGill. The Braves are lined up with their best pitchers. It's just, and I hope I'm wrong. And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to be real here. I got a negative vibe now over these next week or so. Now, the way to survive a negative vibe to me is to play 500 baseball.
Right.
It's to not let this thing become losing at 8 out of 9 or 6 in a row or something crazy. So I think what's important for this team right now is to maintain. And the other thing that's really important is Juan Soto. Juan Soto doesn't know about the Mets' history against the Atlanta Braves. Why would he? He's not involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
But Juan Soto has his own history against the Atlanta Braves. When he's played games at Truist Park in Atlanta as a visiting player, he's played 38 games. He's hit .328 with 12 home runs and 25 RBIs. Juan Soto has owned the Atlanta Braves at Truist Park. And they're going to need Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. To be their hero, because the Mets are right now about to go through a stretch of games in which I think they're going to have to score a lot of runs. They haven't really done that consistently this year. They've won because of their pitching.
Right.
And I think to survive the next few weeks and play the kind of baseball I'm hoping, which is simply 500 baseball, they're going to need to score some runs.
Well, luckily, it's not just Juan Soto. Obviously, Francisco Lindor is still there, and Pete Alonso is there's no indication that he's going to be compromised at all. I know there's some lineup issues, Brett Beatty being one, as Tommy just updated us on his groin, not playing today, or at least not really available today, even though he's kind of available today, type of thing. But as long as the top of your lineup is doing what they're supposed to be doing, you should survive at 500. Not that you're going to thrive, especially because the pitching has been the catalyst for everything this year so far, but I feel like these guys understand the importance, especially of division games.
Well, I also think it's their moment to start carrying this team.
Right.
The Mets are in the position they're in because of their starting pitching. It hasn't been their offense. We need to see this offense kind of live up to its billing, if you will. Now, Sal Licata is also very nervous about this week. He hates the Atlanta Braves more than any human being known to man, even though he named his dog Maddox. And every day we ask him, is the NL East over? As the Mets begin this stretch of games, I asked him that question earlier today.
Hey, Sal Licata, is the NL East over?
Hey, is the NL East over?
Can we pause this conversation for the next 10 days? I mean, this is the stretch. It begins. The beginning of the end starts tonight.
The beginning of the end starts tonight. The problem is it the beginning of our end?
Right, so if you go 8 of 10, then he's going to declare it over?
Oh, I think so.
Wow.
If they go 8 out of 10?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Then you're, at minimum, you're 5 now up on the Phillies, right?
I don't know. You're going to have to do a lot of math for me on that one,
They have a 3-game set, right? 4 with Atlanta or 3 with Atlanta?
They've got 7 with Atlanta, so, and they've got 3 with Philadelphia.
Right, so at the very least, if you go 8 and you sweep the Phillies, you're up 5 on them at the minimum.
Yeah, but if they go 8-2, they could very well go 7-0 against the Braves, 1-2 against the Phillies. That's why your math's a little bit off.
Right, but I'm just assuming that they sweep the Phillies.
No, I got you. If they sweep the Phillies, that would be great. And here's the thing about these games, and Howie Rose tweeted this morning, and I completely agree with him. This is a reminder that divisional games rock.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Yankees against the Red Sox, I know it didn't go your way losing 5 out of 6 games. They matter more.
Yeah. Well, it mattered to the Red Sox.
Of course it did. And it matters when you think about winning the division, which is a big deal. When you think about tiebreakers, which are a huge deal. The Mets made the playoffs last year based on a tiebreaker. These games are just more important than when you play the Tampa Bay Rays. They just are. And so I even feel it 2 hours before first pitch. There is a little bit of like that bubbling sensation in my stomach. Like a little bit, not quite playoffs, but a little bit of we got another
tonight. So you're just nervous.
A little nervous,
yeah.
A little excited, but they matter more. And I kind of miss that they don't play them 19 times. They used to have it where you would play your division rival 19 times. They cut it to 13. And now those games are spread out against random American League teams, or in the Yankees' case, random National League teams. And I may be alone on an island when I say this, me and Howie Rose. I miss it. It kind of sucks that the Mets only play the Braves 13 times. The Mets only play the Braves, the Phillies 13 times. The Yankees only play the Red Sox 13 times.
I miss it, too.
You do miss it.
I do miss it. I understand what Major League Baseball's done here. It's important to get the stars in every city every other year. But nonetheless, it's ridiculous. Yes, the 19 baseball, if you're going to play 162 games, you should play your division a ton.
100%. I mean, the Mets haven't played the Braves yet this season.
Right.
The Mets haven't gone to Philadelphia yet this season. Now, all that's changing this week. We're in the middle of June, and they haven't done it yet. So it's a re-emphasis on why these games are important. And I admit, I got a little bubble in my stomach. A little bubble. The bubble's bruising a little bit.
I think the word you're looking for is butterfly.
You don't have a bubble in your stomach, Tommy? Mm.
No, only when I eat beans. What you're describing to the audience is gas. You're saying butterflies. You have a butterfly in your stomach. A bubble is gas.
No, well, guess what happens when Evan gets nervous? He gets gas. Gets gassy.
A little toot out there. All right.
I do two things when I'm very nervous during a sporting event. I twiddle my hair.
Yes.
And I pass gas.
Wow. Must have stunk on your couch during the 2000 World Series, huh?
I was in the ballpark. It really sucked for the guys next to me. I went to all 5 of those games. Don't ask. Now let's get back to your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Victor is in Harlem. What's up, Victor?
Hey, first off, Evan, something earlier to what you said, I completely hate the wave, too. Whenever I see it going on, I don't participate. But, Sean, big shout-out to you. I was a big fan of your list. Couldn't agree more.
Thanks.
About the paper tickets. I remember growing up, season ticket holder to the Giants. Tiki, one of my favorite Giants ever.
Thank you, man.
I was so excited growing up, end of July, early August, once you saw that big package from New York Giants, East Rutherford, New Jersey, knew the season was right around the corner. But I just wanted to throw one more thing out to you guys. Evan and Sean, you tell me what you think. Another thing I would love for Sames to bring back, and again, I know saving the trees and everything, but game day programs, special to that game or series that day. Now it seems like only like yearbooks or monthly programs. Just wanted to get your thoughts.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
You walk in, you get your little mini program.
Right.
You check
stats,
it out.
You have the updated stats.
Yes.
That's cool.
Giant Stadium, you used to get the one when you parked the car, the parking attendant would hand you that little one. Yeah. I forgot the name of it. It was almost like a playbill. For every game, every time you went, you drove into the parking lot.
Yes, like a playbill. Look at you making a Broadway reference.
I mean, you know me, the one Broadway play I've been to my life, I got a playbill.
Very good. I think as a season ticket holder, you should have the option to get the tickets. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, if I took the option with the
Mets, the Knicks or the Nets, because there's so many games, I wouldn't open them. Like, I remember the last couple of years of Met tickets, I would never even cut them because it was a process. Like, unsealing.
What do you mean?
Okay. Thank you for asking, because I'm sure people are like, what are you talking about?
I don't have no idea.
So they come as a book. Okay, the tickets would come as a book.
I got it.
And you would manually have to rip it out of the book and separate the tickets. And it carpal tunnel syndrome, baby. Like, well, that was a lot of work.
Well, just leave it in the book and do it day of.
But people who would join in on season tickets with each other would have, like, their drafts.
That's different.
And that's cool, too. Pull them out. All right, what game do you want?
That part was fun, but it was still a lot of work. And as technology is advanced, we do less work. Speaking of technology, I finally did it.
What?
I had this discussion off air yesterday, I think, with Sean. And now I will have it on air. I purchased the PS5.
You did it.
I did it. Wow. You know what's so crazy about technology? I made the decision this morning. Didn't want to tell my kids because I don't want them spoiled. So I decided I'm not getting them the PS5. I'm getting myself a PS5.
As you should. You work hard enough.
You're damn right. And I will allow them to use the PS5 at my discretion.
Right. Which means they'll use it whenever you're not around.
Correct. Well said. So I never told them I got the PS5, but I ordered it this morning and it just got delivered. Amazon same day.
Today?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ordered it at 10 a.m. and I just got the note. It's here.
That's risky.
You should just change it out without them knowing.
That's a good idea.
And then see if they notice.
Well, they better notice. It's 500 reasons why they better notice.
I'd be worried about throwing the box there and things getting shaken up.
Well, it's funny you say that.
That feels like an in-store purchase to me.
My wife just told me the box came a little ripped. Do you think that's okay? And I'm like, I don't know. Well, I hope so.
It's not going to break.
Oh, I mean, well, I've seen things break getting shipped to my house.
But the positive
it's not glass.
Even if it is broken and he's right, like, they have a policy where they'll just give you a new one. You just tell them it's broken.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. You could have got like five of them.
Chris is calling from Bayshore. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hey, guys. How are we doing?
Good.
Listen, Evan, I don't normally do this, but I got to agree with you 100% with the Volpe thing. I mean, Sean is talking like a guy who never took a competitive at bat. He was hot, bases loaded. He does well.
I do have to let you go because your phone is cutting out, but I do find it funny that your attack against Sean was he sounds like someone that's never taken a competitive at-bat. By the way, before you continue, I'm about to defend you. I received a DM about 10 minutes ago from a guy named Scott. Mm-hmm. And for those just tuning in, we had a heated discussion about Anthony Volpe swinging at the first pitch last night to end the game. I was very pro. Like, hey, that's sometimes the best pitch you're going to get. You should. Sean was against it. Rewind to about 2:30, you'll hear the whole thing. But Scott DMs me and says, Evan, if you actually knew a little bit more about hitting, you would know that. And then he goes into ripping me. So people are using the whole, you don't know a thing about hitting attack line for both sides. So you should feel better, Sean.
Okay. In the 30 plus years here of WFAN, this is a constant point that needs to be reminded to the audience. And I'm going to take the time to do this. Tiki Barber played professional football. Boomer Esiason played professional football. The rest of us did not play professional sports. Therefore, we are not true athletes.
But hold on a second. Can I defend some of my coworkers?
Who?
Like, Brandon played baseball at Marist.
I'm going to get to them.
Didn't Keith play football at, you know, wherever he went?
And I respect the work that they put in.
So both of those guys are better athletes than me and you. That's for damn sure.
JMU?
Hold on.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Just missed
this UVA. Is where I take a timeout.
I apologize.
We are not arguing who would be a better athlete because of what they've proven in college. I'm talking about intellect and whatever. Chris in Bayshore, I'm sorry. I don't know if you played at Suffolk Community College. I don't know if you played at Bayshore High School. You have taken as many competitive at-bats as I do on the 4th of July with a wiffle ball bat.
He's getting so defensive.
No, because it's true, because I hate this garbage. Yes, get newsflash, I was cut from the 7th grade team. I didn't play high school baseball. That doesn't mean because you played high school baseball, you're better equipped to answer a competitive at-bat. Get lost with that nonsense. None of us played in the major leagues.
Either way, it's just your opinion.
Exactly.
It's your opinion on how it should have been handled in that moment. And your opinion is... keep the pressure, because the pressure is already on the pitcher coming in with the bases loaded. Keep it on the pitcher who's trying to pitch and get an out with the bases loaded.
And I didn't come from Area 51. It was my first baseball game. I've watched a million baseball games in my life.
Area 51? Who comes from Area 51?
The aliens.
No, we found out that it's not aliens.
I didn't even mean to make the alien joke to derail. The point is, you know where I base my knowledge on? It has nothing to do with whether I swung a bat in high school. It has to do with the fact that I watch baseball and understand the game.
I want to give major props to Rafael Devers. Rafael Devers deserves a lot of credit.
He was traded
to the San Francisco Giants. Mm-hmm. Of course, as you guys recall, he played and wore the number 11 mm-hmm. with the Boston Red Sox. Unlike some people when they joined the Giants, Rafael Devers had respect. The number 11 is retired. And not only is it retired, it's retired for a New York Giant. It's retired for the great Carl Hubbell. And Rafael Devers didn't even bother to ask for the number.
What number is he wearing?
He's wearing number 16.
Oh.
So I just want to say to Rafael Devers, unlike a few of our athletes, we respect Giants history, and we don't try to take numbers off the wall. So good job by Rafi. Just want to give him some love. With the Yankees having scored 5 runs in 5 games, Aaron Boone has opted to do something he has not done all season long. Jason Dominguez is the leadoff hitter. Giancarlo Stanton will play in back-to-back games. He will DH again tonight and bat cleanup. He certainly looked good offensively last night. But I was surprised. I looked this up, and it's understandable why most of us probably forgot this. While this is Jason Dominguez's first time leading off for the Yankees this mm-hmm. season, what have I told you he has led off before for the New York Yankees? Last year, second to last game of the year, when everything was wrapped up in Pittsburgh against the Pirates on a Saturday, he actually led off.
And how did he do?
He went 1-for-4, and the Yankees lost that game 9-4.
That was a Paul Skeens pitch for 2 innings game.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
There you go. You're all over. Did you remember that Dominguez led off?
I totally forgot, but I remember the game because people went nuts that Skeens only pitched 2 innings for the last start of the year. Like
yes.
Kind of like iffy weather.
Right, right. And I guess at the time they thought, let's handle him with care. They don't really do that anymore. Now the Pirates are like, whatever. Let's just throw him as much as we can, and you know what? If he gets hurt, he gets hurt.
Yeah, people are going to come see him. Otherwise, we're going to get rid of you in a year.
Indeed. So Dominguez is leading off for the Yankees tonight as they take on the Angels. The Mets are in Atlanta taking on the Braves the first time they're playing this season, and the Mets are trying to snap a 3-game losing streak. The Yankees are trying to snap a 4-game losing streak. And yes, New York baseball is on a 7-game losing streak since we had a big debate on who is better, the Mets or the Yankees. So that is still hanging over our heads because it's been 4 days, 7 losses, and neither team has won.
You want to argue Rays and Phillies now?
I think we may have to. Rays have been red hot, man. Give them a lot of credit. Tampa's played really well. The Phillies have certainly bounced back. So it's getting close. I mean, the leads right now in the division are pretty low. The Yankee lead is the lowest it's been in a while, only 2.5 on Tampa. Same with the Mets. 888-808-1019. Vince is calling from Brooklyn. Hey, Vince.
Again.
Yeah, unfortunately, we'll try to put you on hold, but we can't really hear you. So let's go to Nancy in Flemington. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, Nance.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Great.
What's up?
Not much, but listen, I really love you guys. Hey, Evan and Tommy, I need to give you a talking to.
Uh-oh. We need a talking to. Go ahead.
Not exuding the positivity for the Mets that you're supposed to be doing. Listen. The Rays was one series, right? We got it out of our system. We're putting it behind us. We're going to beat Atlanta tonight. No problem. I got to send a positive vibe because I'm a little disappointed in Evan and Tommy today.
Wow. No biggie.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you about Tommy. Like, it's to be expected that I wouldn't be that positive, but right. Tommy hasn't. I don't know if it's because he's still on vacation. He took a red eye this morning, but I haven't felt real Met positivity from Tommy.
Have you really slept?
I took a 2-hour little siesta before I came.
That was it.
That was it.
Oh yeah, that's why you're not positive right now. But I have been seeing it. It's been lacking.
Yeah, really. Nancy's right. She called him out on it. Like, you're kind of lacking the positivity. Maybe it's because you don't believe in this team.
No, I do. I absolutely do. I'm just a little jet-lagged. I'll get right back into it. I promise. You know what?
Listen to that. Even that?
You know what? Didn't even sound convincing.
My clozometer meter's a little down. There's just not enough Christmas spirit. I'm just a little tired. That's all. I'll get it right back into the swing of things.
Well,
I promise.
We're screwed tonight. We're not winning tonight.
No, we're going to be good tonight. We're going to be good.
Are we?
Yes.
You sure about that?
Two things I could tell you. Volpe's going yard tonight. Is he in the lineup?
Yes.
He's going yard tonight.
He's always in the lineup.
He's going yard tonight. I thought the Sal bit was funny, but he's definitely hitting a home run tonight, and the Mets are winning. We're good.
Those are your two predictions?
Yes. And if not, no biggie.
Okay. So Volpe's hitting a home run tonight. Write that one down.
All right.
And the Mets are winning.
But Sean has to bet it, because when he bets it, it actually happens.
What is the parlay right now if you went on the FanDuel app and bet Volpe home run
into
Met victory? And I
hate this bet, by the way.
And I'm curious with the Mets. Like, David Peterson's had a great year. The Mets have obviously had a better year than the Braves, but they are in Atlanta. Schwellenbach's a Met killer. Are the Mets underdogs tonight?
I would think Justin Timberlake's there because he's bringing in Schwellenbach.
I wasn't asking you your opinion. I was saying you should check. Like, we're asking you to check with the FanDuel app.
I'm looking right now.
Thank you, Tom.
The Mets are plus 118.
Yeah, they're underdogs tonight.
So it's 14-1, the Volpe-Met parlay. So Mets win, Volpe homers, 14-1.
I'm out.
Mm. What do you mean you're out?
14-1 is, first of all, for a team that can't hit right away, asking him that home run. And the Mets, off of all this news, I'm going the other way.
What are you more confident in, Volpe hitting a home run or the Mets winning?
The Mets winning.
Mets winning.
Wow.
Definitely.
All right. I'm making the bet. I want to join that. Was that your idea, Tommy?
Yes, it was.
We're going to call that the positivity special tonight. Mm. Volpe to hit a home run, Mets to beat the Atlanta Braves. I mean, I don't think the Mets are going to win, unfortunately, but I'm going to make the bet with you.
They're 13 games up.
I get a bad vibe about where things are going right now. It's not eternal, just over the next week or so. Like, things don't feel as vibey as they felt 5 days ago. And it's funny, it really started with Senga getting hurt and them almost blowing the game on Thursday. Like, that's really where things started to sink a little bit. Anthony is in Meriden. Hey, Anthony.
I think you mean Nick.
Say it one more time.
It's Nick, not Anthony. I don't know why I said Anthony.
I apologize. My bad.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick. Sorry, Nick. Go ahead.
That's why I paused for a second. So okay. I have a couple things, if I can, and it'll all tie together, I promise. First,
yes.
Evan, congratulations on the PS5. It's funny that you talked about it today, because I'm the Nick that worked with John Bogan when we used to do the MLB The Show League.
Oh, that's right. And we were in the league. Were you Beto? Was that your teammate?
I was Beto. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I remember Beto.
We had the 18-inning game in Wrigley.
Oh, that was a classic.
Okay.
A classic. So, I never forget that.
So that ties to the list with the tickets and your road trip conversation before.
Yes.
I planned a road trip back in 2021. I was going to do all the central stadiums. I was going to hit Wrigley, the White Sox. I was going to do Milwaukee, and I was going to do Cleveland. And I was going to do the trip on my own. But I met a girl that summer.
Wow.
And she I was telling her about the trip. She's a big baseball fan. We met at a Yankee game, and she's like, hey, like, do you want company on the trip? I said, you know what? What better way to figure out if this is somebody I want to be around?
Wow.
Her and I are getting married in January.
Oh, get out of here.
That's amazing.
And then the last bit of it with the ticket bit, Wrigley Field, at least back then, if you told them what game you went to, would send you a care package with a legitimate certificate, not like the bogus one that Yankee Stadium gives you, but like a cool certificate for your first game. And they send you a hard copy of the ticket to the game you were at.
The key, and thank you for the call, man. The key
and
with
congratulations.
The ticket. Yeah, congrats.
Congrats to your fiance.
And what a great way to test drive by going to those stadiums. The key is, what kind of ticket is it? Because right now you can order a hard ticket sometimes, and it's literally just printed out,
right,
and it doesn't feel real.
Right.
Like, it's got to be a real ticket. Like,
right,
back in the day,
the stock of paper has to be right.
Yeah, and it also can't just be, even if it is a regular ticket, it just can't say the letters with no picture or no color or nothing dramatic. Otherwise, what the hell do you need it for?
Right.
Then it doesn't even feel like a real ticket. But I tell you, back in the day, MLB The Show League. And here's what I obsessed about MLB The Show leagues, which I know you can still do. We would have a fantasy draft of all the players basically in the history of baseball. So I would draft older guys like Christy Mathewson, like Carl Hubble, like Ty Cobb, like Jackie Robinson. Just I'd mix it all together. It was awesome. And then you'd pick a team and you'd play leagues. I could get back into that. If we had an all-world fantasy draft, like all the historical players.
Right, but how do they control the player's performance?
Well, it's based on the attributes that we assume that player would have based on the numbers they had. So Ty Cobb was very fast.
Yeah.
He was a great hitter, didn't hit for a lot of power, and was really racist. Mm. Like they kept that. I'm just kidding. They include that feature, but maybe they could.
All right.
So
your performance as a team goes down if you have a black guy on the team.
Yes. Ty Cobb would look at you the wrong way and say, what's going on here? That was awesome, having all the different players in history. See, I'd build that. Would you guys join that league?
I actually think I would. I think that'd be fun.
Okay. Tiki, you're going to join that?
I don't play video games.
Well, what is that?
I'm too old, man.
What are you too old?
50.
So once you turn 50, you can't play video games?
Yep.
I feel like 50 is probably the ideal time to have more time for video games.
What do you mean?
I have a weird feeling that this is like a drug. If we started an MLB The Show League and we said we're only playing at like 11 o'clock at night or something late, I have a feeling if we got Tiki to play once, he'd be addicted. He'd be like,
it depends on how good I am.
I think you'd be good at it right away. And I think you'd love the strategy of it. And all of a sudden, he'd be coming in being like, man, that Carl Hubble screwball was something. You know, I could see that happening. Anthony down in Tampa. Hey, Anthony. Anthony. Anthony going once. Anthony not there. We'll go to Andrew and Lawrence. What's up, Andrew?
What's up, Evan? What's up, Tiki?
All good, Andy.
Good. I'm just like listening to you guys, and I'm listening to the morning show, and everyone's so negative. And I, you know, Tiki, I know you're more level-headed. Evan, right. I'm a big-time Mets fan. I'm 56, so I get it. But why are we even panicking now? And I'm not even a Yankee fan, but like I hear Sal talking about it like that. I don't get it. Halfway into the season, we go ups and down. Look at what happened last year. Are you guys thinking you're I just want to ask one question. I know, and don't take this the wrong way. I feel sometimes when they talk about it so much, you guys talk about it, it almost, it just emphasizes it more when it's not as bad as it really is. And I don't know. I just wanted to get how you felt about that.
I don't think we're negative. I think it's just an emotional reaction. And it's a day, it's a one-day story, so to speak. Now, if it's persistent and it happens over and over and over and over again, then it becomes more of an issue that becomes really negative. But I think this is short-term negativity. I don't think it's long-term negativity.
I think that baseball mentality sometimes in this town is like football, where when you have a bad stretch, it feels worse than it truly is. And it's tough because, like, I say it on the air and I say it to myself all the time. It's baseball. It's 162. You got to take a deep breath. But there are games and there are nights that just piss you off more than others. Like, I'll give it to Sean, even though we disagreed a lot today, that is the kind of Yankee loss last night that would drive me nuts. Mm. Now, does that mean they're going to blow the American League East? No. Does that mean they're an incredibly flawed team? No. But there are certain games that sting you a lot. Like, it stung Sean that we disagreed about Anthony Volpe swinging at the first pitch. And it stung him that Volpe didn't come through. Mm-hmm. And it stung him even more that I embarrassed him on the radio.
You didn't embarrass me. You didn't embarrass me. And Evan actually lied out his teeth, folks. Evan, in case you missed it earlier, at around 2:30 Eastern, if you go back on the Odyssey app and rewind, brought up a stat. Mm-hmm. Anthony Volpe should be swinging at the first pitch because he has an over 400 batting average.
440 to be exact.
440. And now this is the third person that has sent me this factoid that's becoming impossible to ignore, and I think is right.
Go ahead.
So shout out to Steve Elliott, the most recent. The 440 Volpe batting average on an 0-0 count only accounts for balls put in play on an 0-0 count.
Yes!
If he swings and misses, fouls the pitch off, or is thrown a ball, none of those are factored into the...
Yeah. No kidding, dip bleep. I mean, come on.
But that just shows how ridiculous your stat is. It didn't even register with me.
But before we continue the discussion, I have no problem furthering it. Mm. You can't start by saying I was lying. I'm not lying. Well, when he puts the first pitch in play, he hits 440.
But that's how numbers are calculated.
But you left out the in-play part.
The in-play part is very important.
It seems like every at-bat on first pitch,
He's 440.
No. Exactly. No, that is
that's
the way. Not,
that's how I. That's then, how I heard.
That's how I heard it too. That was the way
guys,
you presented it.
That's you guys misinterpreting it. Mm. Obviously, stats are counted by put in play numbers. It's like swinging 3-0. Like what is the numbers when you swing 3-0 and the ball's put in play? That's how numbers are calculated. Not well, he fouled it off. What would that count as if he fouled it
but
off?
But then the stat is
you know what
even
I mean?
More,
like what would that even mean?
But then the stat is even more useless.
Right. Sean, did he put the ball in play when he swung at the first pitch
yes,
yesterday?
And it was a ground out.
Okay, so, okay, then so it's, how many qualifies.
But how many first pitches has he swung and missed? Because that doesn't count.
Right.
Correct, it doesn't count because it's not put in play.
But it should.
Wait, so how, hold on, Teague. How would you count it?
As a non-hit, as lowering
a non-hit,
average.
Hit, it lowers the average.
No, right? It shouldn't. He didn't make out the at-bat continue.
In the genuine, with genuine respect to the stat, a ball that is not a hit that he swings and misses on, if you're only counting it as a first pitch, should in essence, in that stat, count towards a negative right. And take down that average.
No, because every other stat around your count works the exact same way. And guess what it all adds up to? It adds up to your batting average and your OPS. So it is not my fault, with all due respect to both of you, that you didn't understand the way those numbers are calculated. But it is accurate. And to call me a liar, apologize. I'm not a liar. Give me the numbers.
Right. I apologize you for stretching the truth.
It's
to me
not stretching the truth. When he swings at the
first, doesn't matter then.
Sean, when he swings at the first pitch and puts the ball in play, like he did last night, he hits 440.
But
you spot the lie.
Okay. So that's not a lie, but Evan, now we're doing this. Not only are you saying he should swing or not take the first pitch because when he makes contact while swinging, then he's still less than 50-50 on getting a hit. Like the number
guys,
is up to
guys,
take the pitch.
No, it doesn't. It actually doesn't. And this goes with everyone, not just Volpe. He's not unique in this. The best pitch to hit is generally the first pitch of an at-bat.
If you make contact.
Of course, but you're not calculating numbers if you swing and miss.
Okay.
Or you foul the ball off. Mm.
So when he puts a ball in play against sliders this year in the strike zone, his batting average is 111. Does that number count?
Say that one more time.
When a ball is put in play on a pitch that is swung on a slider by Anthony Volpe this year, his batting average is 111.
Okay, when he swings at a first pitch slider and the ball is put in play, he was 4-for-10. So you want to play that game? I'll one-up you. 4-for-10, which basically sounds like every hit he's had off a slider has come on the first pitch.
What was the highest probability of a pitch he was going to get?
I don't know what that means.
So what pitch was Hunter Strickland most likely going
to get? A slider. I think that if I know his repertoire off the top of my head, I don't. I'd have to go to baseball. Right. He throws a slider.
Right. 45% of the time it's a slider. 38%, I think, it's a 4.
How did you know that off the top of your head?
I looked it up earlier. We were talking about
it. Look at you.
And so you knew you were getting a slider. And so If he knows he's getting a slider and he puts bat on the ball, he hits 117.
111.
But when he swings at the first pitch and it's a slider, he's 4-for-10.
Oh, my God. You have really, really catered this number to support your argument.
Sean,
this is the time, Evan, you have to say I was wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. I'm never wrong when it comes to swinging at the first pitch, unless it's a bad pitch to swing at. I don't think a slider in the middle of the zone is a bad pitch to swing at. I'm sorry. And I've had this debate a lot over a lot of different players. The best pitch to hit generally is the first pitch. It just sucks that he didn't come through. Like, he didn't come through. I'm not going to defend that he didn't. He rolled one over to third base. I get it. But, hey, if you want to hear the original debate, you can rewind the app to about 2:30.
I can't believe it came back up again. Yep. Started the show with this and finishing the show with this.
WFAN has also tweeted the video of our argument and has now re-sparked people who are just jumping in on it to say Evan's wrong.
I'm not wrong, though.
Great.
I mean, the numbers are the numbers. You are more successful when you swing at the first pitch. Like, you can turn as red as you want. The numbers are the numbers.
Right.
And I know sometimes you don't like facts, especially when they get in the way, but you got to respect them.
Right.
I just presented Tiki. Right. I'm going crazy. I present
real that. Quickly, thank you, SNY, for joining us as always. Coming up next, Baseball Night in New York, brought to you by Tri-State Cadillac Dealers. So it's crazy that we're still debating this because it doesn't even matter. He got out in the moment that mattered the most.
It does matter for the future.
Why does it matter for the future?
Because let this be a lesson for someone like Sean. The next time he whines and screams, can you play the audio of what he said right after the game one more time? This was Sean Morash right after the Yankees lost. And, of course, his number one issue is the fact that Anthony Volpe swung at the first pitch in the bottom of the
11th. That's a terrible loss. That's a terrible f***ing loss. Is Volpe serious? The guy just comes in, bases loaded. Take a f***ing pitch. Take a f***ing pitch.
I mean, listen to how uninched he is.
Take a f***ing pitch.
So hopefully he learns from this and realizes that, no, you shouldn't take a bleeping pitch.
Just know, folks, if Evan Roberts, Chris McMonagle, and Aaron Boone all agree, they're wrong.
Well,
Jazz, just, That's the trifecta of knowing you're on the wrong side.
Why are you putting me with Big Mac and Aaron Boone? Just because I happen to agree with them on this one particular issue. I don't agree with Boone not punting with Jazz Chisholm. I don't. It's not like I agree with him on everything. I'm not like Big Mac, who's kissing his ass constantly. Don't put me in that group. No offense, Chris.
You ever see an old woman get 3 sevens on a slot machine at Mohegan Sun? Those 3 sevens in arguing baseball arguments, when Boone, Evan, and Chris are on the same side, you want to be on the other side.
Shut up, Tubby.
You know what? I'm going to let Aaron Boone have the final word on this discussion.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.